In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the gospel lesson appointed for today. We read in St. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is God's Word. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, when we think of a legacy, we think of something that is handed down to us. Now, that might involve death. If a person dies, they have a last will and testament. That is their legacy that they hand down to those who are still living. In another understanding of the word legacy, it is simply the benefit one person receives because of another. For example, a young man or a woman may get into a particular college or university, and that person is called a legacy because the reason that they got into the college is that one of their parents went there. And so they receive that legacy or that benefit of the living to go to the university where their parents went. When we think of those two definitions in connection with our Savior, we know right away that it's not the first. It's not something we receive from someone who is dead. Oh, yes, he was dead, but he's dead no longer. Now Jesus is risen from the dead, and he lives and reigns over all things. So our legacy is an Easter legacy. It is a legacy of one living person to others. It is the benefit that you and I receive with our connection to Jesus Christ. He who was dead now lives and has given us an Easter legacy because we were once dead in our trespasses and sins, but now we are also alive by the power of his resurrection. All of this the Holy Spirit recorded through the pen of St. Luke in our gospel lesson this morning. The Old Testament had for many centuries foretold this legacy. Jesus established this legacy by coming into the flesh. He has passed this legacy on to us by rising from the dead and giving us that power of his new life. And now the Holy Spirit has revealed it to us in his Word. When Jesus appeared to his disciples on Easter Sunday night, our Savior immediately endowed them with our twofold Easter legacy. We see the first part of that legacy, that Easter legacy, is divine peace through the resurrected Christ. And the second part is our official work as Jesus' disciples. The disciples' fear and trembling when they saw Jesus on Easter night is not without precedent. We read in the Old Testament that the judge of Israel, or the leader of Israel, Gideon, saw the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord is the Son of God in one of his pre-incarnation appearances. Gideon saw God. And he was afraid, and he was trembling, and he was frightened because he had seen God. But the angel of the Lord told him immediately, Gideon, don't be afraid. Peace. So the angel of the Lord took away his fear by speaking a word of divine peace. And isn't that what Jesus did on Easter Sunday night? When he suddenly appeared in the room, no longer using the ordinary means of getting from one place to another as he did during his humiliation, Jesus greeted his disciples and said, peace. They needed that peace because Luke tells us that they were fearful and they were afraid because they thought they had seen a ghost. And so Jesus used that word, shalom, that common greeting, in order to dispel their fears. The disciples were confused and afraid, not only because they now saw what they thought was a spirit or a ghost, but because they were troubled by some of the things that their women and some of the other disciples had told them. They said that they, earlier in the day, had seen the Lord. In our verse of the day, we hear those words or about that incident where the disciples on the road to Emmaus spoke with Jesus. And Jesus opened up to them the scriptures and how they came to recognize him when he broke bread. The man standing in their presence was not a spirit. Was not a ghost. The one standing there in front of them was their living Savior. Their Lord Jesus Christ, now risen from the grave. There he was in his glorified flesh and blood in their presence. Jesus told them, as he would tell Thomas a week later, to touch him. He asked them if they had anything to eat. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish to show that he was not just a spirit, but that he was actually there in his flesh and blood. The church father, St. Augustine, said of Jesus eating this broiled fish that he did not eat it because he had to anymore, because he was no longer bound by the limitations of his humanity as he was in his humility. But he did it simply to show his power, to show his glory, to show that in fact he was there in his resurrected body. It was by this living man, not by a dead one, that the disciples received that Easter legacy of divine peace in the resurrected Christ. He had taken them from fear to peace. From sadness to joy. And so he also has done for us. This also is our Easter legacy of divine peace in the resurrected Christ. Christ has taken us from death to life, from darkness to light, from sadness to joy. He had promised his disciples the joy that no one can take away. St. Paul had preached and taught about the peace that comes through his blood shed on the cross. So on the one hand, Jesus rebuked his disciples for their fear and for their doubt, but then he took those away by speaking the word of peace. That Hebrew word, shalom, peace, has the idea of health, of soundness, of prosperity. And as everything that Jesus said to his disciples, and still says in his word, it doesn't just offer something, but it also gives it. So Jesus, when he said peace, wasn't merely saying, I'm offering you now spiritual soundness, spiritual health, spiritual blessings to take away your fears. But I am endowing you with it. I am giving it to you by the power of my word. So you have peace through my resurrection. Peace through the resurrected Christ is our Easter legacy first and foremost. It is not a legacy of the dead, but a legacy from the one who lives. But there's another aspect of that twofold Easter legacy that Jesus gave to his disciples and that he also gives to us. And that is our official work as his disciples. When we think of that word disciple or discipleship, we most often think of it as being a student, as learning, as being a follower. But here, Jesus reminds us and teaches us that being a disciple also means to be a goer, to be a proclaimer, to be someone who declares the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Jesus had gone away from them for a couple of days and now had returned to them and gave them that responsibility now to go and preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And they were qualified for that because they were eyewitnesses of His new life. They had seen Him. They had touched Him. They had given Him something to eat. There was no doubt in their mind anymore. No fear or uncertainty about whom they had seen. And so they could take that good news now out into the world. A week later, Jesus appeared to them again, and this time Thomas was with them, and Jesus repeated this command. And he also endowed them with the ministry of the keys, with the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. He would leave them again soon, in 40 days, when he would ascend into heaven. But he would leave them with that wonderful work as his official ambassadors, as his official representatives, who would publish that good news that we read about in the Old Testament in Isaiah, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace. They believe now in Jesus because they had seen Him. Again, think of Thomas. And Jesus said, "You believe because you've seen Me." But now we read again that He opened their minds to see and to know the Scriptures, just as He had done on the road to Emmaus. So now they knew from the Old Testament Scriptures that Jesus was the fulfillment of those. And then, as they now went and preached Christ as the fulfillment of the Old Testament, their preaching and teaching would become the New Testament Scriptures. So from the Old Testament to the fulfillment, to the proclamation of that fulfillment, is the Scriptures, our Bible, God's Word. They would preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in His name. they would take out into the world that eyewitness account of Christ's resurrection from the dead. We learn from the evangelist John that Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit on them for this work. They received that power for the ministration of the gospel. 10 days after his ascension, he again poured out the Spirit on them and on Pentecost to give them courage for the rapid dissemination of the gospel. This official work continues through us. The Holy Spirit opens our hearts and our minds through the Scriptures to be witnesses of the resurrected Christ. And He gives us courage and the words to go out into the world and to share that good news with others. This is our Easter legacy. Not only to receive divine peace, but to go out with that into the world. And going back to my introduction, think of that in the case of a college student or a university student. They get and receive that blessing of the legacy, but then they make use of it by being a good student, by studying hard, by being a good representation of their relative's name, by whose name they got into this school in the first place. They really are, in a sense, an official representative of the one whose legacy they are using for their education. And in that sense, we have received that legacy of divine peace from the resurrected Christ, and now we put it into use in our work as His disciples, of preaching repentance, of preaching the forgiveness of sins, of holding that cross and empty tomb of our Savior to the world. To know and for them to know that what we have is not something that comes from the dead, but something that comes from the one who lives and reigns over all things and will live and reign for all eternity. And while we do that, we await another legacy, and that will be our final legacy of the eternal bliss and joy of heaven. In the Beatitudes, one of the things that Jesus said was, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." This is our official work. We are peacemakers as we provide and share the legacy of the divine peace of Jesus Christ to the world. We work and live in that peace, and we share it with others. We have received it, not from a dead man, but from a living one, in whose name we now live and work. Amen.